On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, baseball struggles despite a couple of gems, softball has a Cinderella run, and men's tennis makes a historic feat. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 157 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there, Gamecock Nation. Spring is here, where the weather is fantastic. I, you know, swung some golf balls, my ribs are sore as all hell, but hey, it's all good. And we celebrated the mothers. Happy Mother's Day to any mothers that are listening out there. Where would we be without our moms? I don't know. I do not know. So shout out to all the moms and to all the ladies in Gamecock Nation that are just doing fantastic things around athletics, around everything around our university. Just shout out to all the moms. Shout out to all the ladies here. So we are going to recap this weekend. There was a sneaky amount of action going on throughout the entire weekend, but y'all already know that I have to start off with a piece of trivia here from my handy-dandy calendar, so here it is. Name the former Gamecocks baseball pitcher who helped power South Carolina to three straight College World Series appearances, posted a 26-6 record from 2009 to 2012, and was a first-team All-American in 2012. I'm going to say that that's Michael Roth. And yep, boom, Michael Roth. Talk about a goat. I mean, really, talk about a South Carolina goat. Just a absolute gamer. Shout out Michael Roth, man. The stuff he did, just that whole team, like that run from 2020, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, just that whole team just embodied this win anyway mentality, you know, that battle mentality. And Michael Roth especially, just some of the things he did were just historic, just the stuff of legends. And the fact that he, you know, remember his style, like he wasn't exactly like overpowering. He just was in command of his stuff. And was so cool about how he went his business. I remember the adage with him was, baseball is something I do, it's not who I am. He was just this very holistic, down-to-earth person that happened to just be phenomenal at baseball and did some historic things at USC and helped the team reach historic heights. So shout out to Michael Roth. Love that guy. Michael, if you happen to listen to this show, or if anyone listening to this show happens to know Michael Roth, send my regards. Would love to have you on the pod for an episode. We are welcome anytime. Official open invite to Michael Roth to join the show. But let's get down to business here and let's look at some scores that happened and whatnot. So starting on Saturday, the men's tennis team beat Tennessee 4-2. And with that win, the team will advance to the NCAA quarterfinals for the first time since 1989. Just a historic feat here. You know, our men's team, they've had some good players. You know, we've had some really good moments. You know, a couple championship appearances, had that championship win. What was that, 2 years ago now? But this right here, this feels special. The men will take on the number one ranked Texas Longhorns next Thursday in the quarterfinals to see if they can keep this historic run going. But shout out to the men's tennis team. That is very, very impressive. And then one of, well, maybe the story from the weekend came from the softball team as they made it to the SEC championship game in the finals of the conference tournament. You know, I talked about it a little bit in the last episode, saying that they had a nice upset win and that we were putting out the good vibes as they were playing Georgia while I was recording. And then they went on a Cinderella run. So just to recap, y'all, on Thursday, after they beat A&M, so they beat A&M on Wednesday 1-0 after that big rain delay. Then on Thursday, the ladies beat Georgia 2-1 in 8 innings. And then on Friday, they took on the 3-seed Auburn and beat them 3-2 thanks to a 2-run home run in the top of the 7th. The celebration at home plate will give you chills. Just the emotion from this team was unreal. Such a cool video to watch. If you haven't, absolutely have to find it. It'll give you chills. It'll pump you up. So then on Saturday, the Gamecocks faced the top-seeded Tennessee Lady Volunteers, and unfortunately, midnight did strike on the Cinderella story as Carolina fell 3-1. But wow, what a magical run. I mean, it just, as a 7-seed, the Gamecocks went all the way to the championship game. Everything was clicking. Everything was working. You had the SEC network blowing up about it. You had Dawn Staley tweeting about it. You had Shane Beamer tweeting about it. Everybody from Gamecock Nation was behind this team. And this team, you know, we've covered them. It would say we, but we all have, you know, watched them throughout the year. I've been reporting on the scores. They've had a pretty nice season. You know, they've had ups and downs. Obviously not one of the best teams in the SEC as a 7-seed, but they had their moments. And they had an opportunity and they seized it in this tournament run. And just kudos. Kudos to the softball team. Very, very neat to see. So we're just going to wait and see now to see what they can do in the NCAA tournament. They're at regionals this upcoming week, so we'll see if they can keep the momentum going and if there is magic in that dugout still. But wow, what a run by the ladies. Hats off to y'all. Which brings us to the other diamond, as the baseball team was also in action throughout this weekend here. As you all would know, the Gamecocks were on the road in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, this weekend against yet another highly ranked opponent. I mean, it is just serious. SEC baseball is no joke. I wouldn't want it any other way. Like, I don't want this to come across as complaining or anything like that. It is a gauntlet. And every now and then you'll see a graphic that goes out about just how good the SEC is when they face other teams from other conferences. And this year specifically, our conference is just dominating everybody else. In any type of matchup, the stats are just so lopsided towards our favor. And then every now and then you'll hear an announcer say that SEC baseball is basically double A. So just the competition is just so stacked. And it is so stiff. And just the way that this schedule has worked out for Carolina, it's just tough. It's a tough one, but hey, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And unfortunately, that was not really the case for Carolina this week. It was another tough weekend for the guys as they lost the series, but they did steal a game from Arkansas, which is impressive to do, especially on the road and given the circumstances of this team right now. But as I did talk about in the episode prior, the injury report was the storyline coming into this series, as Carolina was getting multiple position players back and available, whether it be, you know, in a DH or pinch running, but guys were coming back, which is something we've desperately needed. But then there was a blow to the pitching staff with Will Sanders just not making the trip and dealing with some sort of lower body injury, leg injury, something along those lines. And then what's funny is, you know, before this series, I said that my crow to the series was just next man up. Have that next man up mentality. The team was backed up against the wall going into this series. So who was going to step up and have a moment? And that was on display. You know, despite losing the series, I think that was on display a couple of times, which I'll get into here. But then I also said going into this series that I don't expect any pitching duels this weekend, and I was hoping that the Gamecocks were going to have to hit their way out of this and going to have to score a lot of runs to try steal a game or two. And that right there is why I don't claim to be an expert, because that was just not the case, as every game was low scoring and felt like a pitcher's duel. So that right there is why I am not an expert and I don't claim to be. So let's look at each game here. Game one, Friday, the Gamecocks fell to Arkansas 4-1, but this one was pretty close most of the way. Eli Jones, you know, he got the start in this in place of Will Sanders, and he was simply magical, striking out 10 Arkansas players over five innings. So Carolina was down 1-0 after the third. It stayed that way up till the top of the sixth, until Braylon Wimmer welcomed himself back with a nice RBI single. But unfortunately, Arkansas would get one back right there in the bottom of the inning, tacked on two more in the seventh to end the scoring and ultimately secure the win. Eli Jones did get the loss despite the strong outing. Cade Austin came in relief and gave up two runs and struck out another two. Austin Williamson pitched the ninth, but really, really impressed with Eli Jones in that moment, despite catching the loss. I mean, he threw a gem, striking out 10 guys over five innings. Like, yes, gave up the run, which made him technically catch that loss, but that was just wow, right? I mean, that was not what I was expecting. Eli Jones has had some good moments in relief for this team, but to go up on a Friday night on the road as the starter and to do what he did was just very, very impressive, and that's what I'm talking about. You had a guy step up in a moment, outside of his comfort zone, doing something that Will Sanders has done all year, and he goes and does this. So was very impressed with Eli Jones despite him catching the loss there. Some player highlights from this game. Braylon Wimmer, aforementioned, went 1-for-4 with one ribby. Michael Braswell, 1-for-3. And Talmadge LeCroy, 1-for-3. Game two, Carolina got the victory, beating Arkansas 3-1. And this was the Jack Mahoney game. He was him in this game. My goodness, Jack Mahoney. Kudos. I mean, when you needed a big performance from him, after this team has really needed one from him for a couple of weeks now, he delivered and then some in a major, major way. Mark Kingston even said as much, said it was one of the more impressive performances he's seen given the circumstances of everything. I mean, you'll remember that coming into this game, Jack Mahoney was called a swing man. The Saturday starter was TBA. It was widely speculated that Mahoney would come out of the bullpen in this series, but he was called on to start, and just boy, did he ever. Seven scoreless innings, striking out six batters on 90 pitches. Masterful. Masterful. Just what the Gamecocks needed, he delivered. And that's big. That is big because maybe something clicked. Maybe he needed to be pushed a little bit, being relegated to a swingman, and maybe that ignited something in him. So it's very, very interesting to watch, but nonetheless, this was enormous, and it's exactly what the Gamecocks needed. Carolina got their scoring done in the fourth inning, where they had a nice rally where Gavin Cassis, Braylon Wimmer, and Evan Stone all drove in runs. Jack Mahoney obviously got the win. Chris Veach pitched two innings in relief and earned the save. Some player highlights here. Braylon Wimmer, 2-for-4 with one RBI. Evan Stone, 1-for-3 with the ribby. And Gavin Cassis, 1-for-3 with one RBI. Which brings us to Game 3, the rubber match. Sunday afternoon, Mother's Day, the Gamecocks fell 5-1 and ultimately lost the series. But, I mean, the Arkansas starter just simply pitched the game of his life. He pitched the game of his life, pitched a complete game. I think the guys on the telecast were saying they were happy that he went six innings. And then, like, anything else after that was great. He pitched a complete game. Like, come on, give me a freaking break. Like, of course that would happen. A moment where you're thinking, my God, could Carolina actually steal this series this afternoon? And this guy just goes and does that. Just of course, that just only happens to us. But South Carolina, we just really could not get an extended rally going, especially late in the game. Just could not get multiple base runners on. It was the third inning after a Will Tippett leadoff home run where Carolina got two men on but failed to score any more. And it was one of those deals just where, like, as the game went on, it was clear that this pitcher was not going to let that happen again. And then you're looking back on it and like, damn, that was the chance in the third inning for Carolina to have had taken control of the game. And they were just unable to. Arkansas tied it in the bottom of the third and would tack on runs later in the game. And that's all she wrote. Matthew Becker got the start and the loss, going 5 2/3 inning, giving up 4 runs. James Hicks pitched the rest of the way, giving up 1 more run. Some player highlights here. Will Tippett was responsible for the lone run of the game, 1 for 3 with a ribby. Cole Messina, 2 for 4, and Dylan Brewer, 1 for 4. So as the Carolina Gamecocks drop this series, there's two ways we can look at it, right? Like, if we're going to look at this situation right now as a glass half full situation, you could say the team battled and they rallied behind a fantastic game by Jack Mahoney to win this game and avoid a sweep, which would have been devastating for this team. And they did that against a very good Arkansas team on the road. And again, maybe this gets Mahoney in a groove. You could also be thinking that. You could also think that with a bunch of guys coming back, the offense is now going to be ramped up. It wasn't going to happen overnight. So now they're working their way back to full strength. Wimmer showed it right away. Also, probably by next series, the defensive arrangement will be what we saw for most of the first half of the year. So maybe the Gamecocks are just about ready to be on the other side of this funk they've been in and are ready to get back to their winning ways. On the other hand, if we're going to look at this situation as the glass half empty, you could say there was just simply very little to no offense this entire weekend, period. The team got strong pitching from pretty much all three starters, especially Eli Jones, and you failed to capitalize on it. You just didn't score enough. It was there. You weren't getting blown out. You just failed to drive runners in, extend rallies, etc. And again, if we're not looking on the bright side of this, we could say there's still guys in this offense who have been healthy, who have just not been producing consistently over the last couple of weeks and might be in a cold spot at a very, very bad time. And you could also say we just don't know who we can trust in this starting rotation because seemingly everyone is up and down. Will Sanders has been good, maybe not great, and now he's dealing with an injury. Jack Mahoney has had some good starts, but also some bad starts. Is Eli Jones an answer? Matthew Becker, he had a nice outing, all things considered, but he's struggled at times. So if we're going to look at this half empty, that's what we would look at. For me, and if you've listened to me long enough, you probably know what I'm going to say, but I'm leaning more towards the glass half full. I have to believe that the team that we saw running through the first half of the schedule and that started SEC play so strong is still here. It's still in there. And that this weekend will serve as a turning the page point on this funk. Now, that's not to say that I think this team is going to win every game the rest of the season, cruise through the SEC tournament, and so on. But I do think that next week we see a team that's more balanced and that looks more consistent. So speaking of next week, what is up next for the Gamecocks? It is a midweek game, Tuesday night against Charlotte back at home in Columbia. The 49ers are currently 25-25 overall and will be entering this game after a losing series to FIU. My crow to the game here, hit well with runners in scoring position. That hurt the team this Sunday against Arkansas, and we saw it in a bad way a couple of times over these last two or three series. So you need to turn that trend around, especially as postseason play is around the corner, and you need these guys in that lineup to get rallies and drive guys in. That's what we saw all year. It's what's been missing the last two or three series. So get it going now. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.